spontaneity allows us to be who we are, right? But even more important than that, in the context of this morning, spontaneity allows God to be God, right? So when we create this space in our lives for God to be God, we get these moments. And again, we can't predict it. We don't know when God is going to come and when he's going to, break through in a situation. But we can create a culture where it happens, again, in our individual lives and in our church life, where it happens often. I mean, in fact, I believe God wants to do that every day. He wants to give us a spontaneous moment with him. In fact, that's what I believe Jesus was saying when he says, pray for your daily bread. That bread doesn't mean just natural bread. It means something that sustains you, but in a spiritual sense as well. So in other words, Jesus is saying, ask for your daily supernatural bread, right? Ask for something that would convince you of his love again. You know, don't go and depend on 5 years ago when you met Jesus or when you had an encounter with God and just say, well, okay, that's it. No. My wife's going to be very upset if I say to her, well, I said 5 years ago that I love you and then I brought you flowers, so that's it. So every time she's got a need for love, I'm like, 5 years ago, don't worry, it happened. It's not going to work. And so it's not going to work for us in our relationships with God. On the other side, the opposite as well. I have to tell you a little something of my little girl, Malaya. She's 4 years old. The night I was putting her into bed, and I felt just to talk to her about the love of God. And so I started talking about the fact that God loves her, and I thought, well, I've really shared that many times with her before. I'm sure she gets it. In fact, the other day I tried to get her to pray, to allow Jesus to come into her heart. She said, Daddy, I did that before, you know, so she's like convinced Jesus, she's given her life to Jesus. So now I said to her, why don't you tell God or show God that you love him? So I begin to give her examples. How do you show love to someone? So I say, if you give Daddy a hug, you're saying that you love Daddy. If you give Mommy a kiss, you love. If you obey your teacher at school, you're saying that you're communicating that you love her. And so I'm teaching and showing her that you can love God as well. You can give love back to him. And so time goes by, and a bit later I found her going like this. She was giving kisses to God. I thought, that is a real precious moment. That's worship. That's real worship. And so that's spontaneity, you know, when we create space for God to be God in our lives. And so Jason Upton says the following. He says, spontaneity is the reward for prepared mind and heart. Spontaneity is the reward for prepared mind and heart. In fact, Jesus of God, communicates this right throughout Scripture. I'm just going to read a couple of Scriptures. Zechariah 7, verse 5. God says the following. Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and you mourned in the fifth and the seventh months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? And the Scripture emphasizes it again. He says, for me. And you can almost sense the emotion that God is saying to the people. When you fasted, did you really do it for me? Was it for me, or actually were you doing it for another reason? So, a bit later on in Zechariah, God says, but I was to you like a husband. I was to you like a husband. I was giving you my love. I was pursuing you. But you weren't responding to my love. In the book of Samuel, God comes to Saul. And one of the saddest moments in Scripture, God says to Saul, well, I'm not interested in your sacrifice, but I'm interested in your obedience. You know, I said to you this thing, but you ignored me. And see, the thing is God is a relational God. He's not interested in our rituals that are empty. He's not interested in us just performing for him. He's interested in a relationship. That's why he says, I want obedience, not sacrifice. And we all know that dead religion is doing things, performing for God, but it's there's no life in it. Whereas, you know, when we do things for God out of obedience, there's life. And that's what Jesus came to give us, is life in abundance, like we prayed a bit earlier. So again, spontaneity is the reward for the prepared mind and heart. One of the mysteries of life almost is revival, right? We talk about revival. When and how can we predict when God would come and visit his people, right? Of course, when we return to the cross, we revive the cross and it happens. But so many people want to see revival, but how does it happen? And I was reading this book about the greatest revivals that have hit the earth. And if you think about it, those were moments of immense spontaneity. God coming to visit his people. And it's amazing to listen, to read those stories and to see what happened. And, you know, people would be changed and miracles would happen. And God, and every one of them are unique, right? How God would visit his people. But John Peters writes the following. He says this. He's researched all these greatest revivals, and then he says there's 6 golden threads of all these revivals, or these people, or some of the leaders of the revivals. So the first one is submission to the teachings of the Bible. The second one is an openness to the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, a deep devotion to prayer and worship. Fourthly, an integrity of lifestyle in terms of transformed behavior, right? So lives that are changed and integrity of that lifestyle. In other words, they don't practice one thing and do something, you know, behind closed doors, or practice sin or do things that they're not honest about. And fifth one is an intense desire to glorify Jesus. And the sixth one is humility, or an immense honesty about brokenness, right? All of us actually, we're broken, right? There's something that all of us, we're not perfect. There's a brokenness that all of us have, and that's why, you know, Jesus comes to save us and to heal us and transform us and progressively. But when we recognize that, this guy says that's one of the golden threads of the people that led revivals. Then he says the following of the scriptural revival, the birth of the church. He says, Luke's thrilling account of that tumultuous day, talking about Acts chapter 2, preserves the following features: excitement, a dynamic sense of God's presence, powerful preaching of the gospel, converted and changed consciences, events of supernatural power attendant on the discipline, accurate, precise, and obedient preaching of God's word, and emphatic focus on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. So we see this tension playing out, right? And we see there's this preparation, there's the side that we can do, like Jason Upton says, prepare our minds and prepare our hearts. And then we see at some point God comes and he comes through. We see this in the book of Acts. It says that they were up in the upper room and they were of one accord, and then the Holy Spirit came, right? So they were praying, they were waiting, tarrying on Jesus. And then in that state of being prepared in mind and in heart, at some point, like a mighty rushing wind. Do you see the unpredictability there again? Like a mighty rushing wind. It's like, you know, a wind. How can we predict a wind? You know, we can look at the wind forecast, but we can't exactly know when it's going to arrive. It's unpredictable. Like that, the Holy Spirit came. And came on their prepared minds and hearts. God became spontaneous. And then stuff happened that never happened before. They started speaking in tongues that people could not understand. And they thought they were drunk. You know the story. So there's this tension between us, our structure, and the way we prepare ourselves, and God, spontaneity. So we expect, but we don't know when. Right? we structure our gathering with an expectation, but still the experience is spontaneous. We see this in 2 Chronicles 5 verse 13. Indeed it came to pass, this is in the old covenant in the temple, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now we want that, don't we? We want that spontaneous experience of God coming. Who says yes? Okay. Amen. Okay. Great. We're on the same page. We wanna have God, not just in our corporate gatherings, but in our own lives. We want that spontaneity, God coming to be God. I always say, people often ask me, how do you know if it's God's voice speaking to you? And I always say to them, this is how you can test it, and this is how you measure it against the word, and all the right answers. But then I stand back and I say, well, if when God speaks to me, I know it's God because no one else would come up with something like that. It's just God because it looks like God. Does that make sense to anyone? When you know God's spoken to you, you know that no one could have come up with that. You know, God is so amazing when he speaks to us. So we want that spontaneity. So the structure here in 2 Chronicles was halted because of the spontaneity of God's Spirit. Now you can go to the other extreme, that structure can be so overbearing that there's no space for God to come through. So we structure our gatherings with an expectation that God would come. We can't predict it. We can't say, God, you better come at that time, you know? And that's the little gap. No, we work with an expectation, but we continue with the structure. So how do we stay fresh in the Holy Spirit? Four things. The first one is we request. The second one is we expect. The third one is we take a risk. And the fourth one is we teach that to others. Okay, so we request. We come to God, we say, God, we're really hungry for you. We want to meet with you. So this morning, we don't just come to church just to tick off a box that we feel better about ourselves, that we can say we've been to church. No. Who would want to do that? We're all busy. We don't want to keep our lives busy, right? So we come to church because we want to meet with God. So we come here requesting, saying, God, we want to meet with you. We're preparing our hearts and our minds. Second one is expect. Come with an expectation. If we don't have an expectation, God cannot meet us, right? So again, come with an expectation. And what I'm sharing here, I'm talking in a corporate sense, but in your own life, you can practice the same. In your quiet time, say, God, I'm coming to you. I request that you would meet me here this morning. And I expect that this will happen. But then there's the risk, right? Then there's the risk. Then there's the Peter walking on the water, right? There's always a risk involved. And many times the risk is for us just to make ourselves vulnerable, right? To say, God, you know, I'm taking a risk here. I'm taking a risk with my heart. I'm sharing my heart. For some of us, it's really difficult sometimes to open up our hearts and even to God. But we need to take a risk so that God can meet us. And then the next thing is we need to teach that to others. Jason Upton again says, mercy is like snow. He says, mercy is always unpredictable. You would find many people coming to Jesus in the Gospels. And they would come to him and they would say, Lord, give me mercy. And Jesus would meet them. And again, every time it was different. Every time Jesus would meet their difference. Why did he do it differently? Because the people themselves are different, right? Again, like I said earlier, spontaneity creates space for us to be who we are. So Jesus meets every person where they are at and the struggles and the issues that they have. And then he always asks them one question. He says to them, what do you need? What do you want me to do? Now, this is Jesus. So, of course, Jesus implicitly knows what the person needs, but yet he chooses to have a relationship with the person, right? So he could have said, well, I know what you need, Nyasha, so here you go. But now he says, Nyasha, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And if Nyasha's leg is broken, but he says, you know, I need some water, then Jesus says, well, here's water for you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus wants to know us. He wants relationship with us. And he communicates, he says, I don't want to just fix you, I want to know you. This is a really difficult one for us, right? We many times come to Jesus because of our needs, right? And then Jesus says, well, I'll meet your needs, but I'm more interested in you. I want to know you. And that's really difficult for us because it means sometimes we need to become uncomfortable and do uncomfortable things and become vulnerable. But Jesus is more interested in us and relationships with us. Why do we sometimes not like it? And Jason Upton says the following. He says, we distance ourselves from God, and then we blame him for the distance. And we try, and because we don't like that uncomfortableness of opening up ourselves to God and transparency, we, as natural people, and I mean, church history is full of it, life is full of it, you can just look at, you know, so many examples of this, but we want to control God. Because if we control God, we can have things predictable again, right? So it's this weird tension. We don't like unpredictability, but we like predictability. Because then we know what's going to happen. We don't have to take risks. But we need to create that space for God to be God. The ultimate life with Jesus is an unpredictable life, a life of spontaneity. We see this in the life of the disciples. Jesus comes to them, the very first step, the very first engagement he has with them, he says to them, follow me. And then he walks. Now, some of us are laughing because, you know, that's quite unpredictable. It's, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you know, what's going to happen. You know, we as modern people would like Jesus to tell us, what is the program? How long is it going to be? Where are we going to go? What is the budget? Yes. What's it going to cost? We're going to ask Jesus quite a few questions, right? That if it's the same as the disciples, Jesus is just going to say, follow me. And then he's going to walk. So the very first engagement that Jesus has is quite a spontaneous moment, right? He just walks and he says, follow me. And then they must make a decision. Am I going to respond in spontaneity and drop everything and join Jesus? Or am I going to just continue with my life, right? Then we see the cross is very unpredictable. I mean, Jesus tells his disciples he's going to go to the cross, but he doesn't tell them what's going to happen, right? So, he might die. Oh, yes, and then he did die, right? Quite scary, quite unpredictable. And then, of course, he is raised from the dead. It's so unpredictable that most of the disciples ran away. They got very spontaneous. Then Jesus says to them, he appears to them, again, very unpredictable, very spontaneous. They just stressing out, and then Jesus appears in the middle of the gathering. Then Jesus says, go and wait for me in Jerusalem. Again, quite unpredictable, right? So they just pack up their bags, they go to Jerusalem, find the upper room, and go wait. And they prepare their hearts and their minds, and then Jesus comes and spontaneously meets them. So my encouragement this morning is to not settle for imitations of who God is, right? We want to sometimes limit God, predict God, but God is unpredictable. Allow God to be God in your life. Now, the good news is God has given us His Word, right? God has told us who He is. That's the good news. It's not this guessing game, okay? Now, God has actually committed Himself, and if you get to know His Word, you will know that God loves you. You will know, and I love this morning, it's actually part of my notes, but God is our rock. You know, and God spontaneously said that to us this morning, that He is our rock. But if you know His Word, you can know who God is. He has committed Himself to His Word. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will remain. Right? He says He's given us His love. His love is unconditional. He loves us. We can be assured of it. We can know that we can be safe in God. We can run into God. God is our stability. He's our security. He has the best, our best at heart, and we can run into Him. He cares for us. He says, come to me, bring all your burdens and cast your burdens on me, because I care for you. So God has committed us, committed Himself to His Word so that we can be secure in Him. But the fact that we can be secure in Him and in His Word doesn't mean that we can predict God. He's still God. And that's my encouragement for you this morning. Let's just close our eyes. Band, if you guys can come up. And we're going to just end off giving space for God again to be spontaneous in our lives. So Father, we thank You that You are God. And we recognize You as that, Lord. We ask this morning that You would break every box of limitation. Every box that we've placed You in, God, saying that You can be here and not there. You can do this but not that. And we say, God, in my life, I give You the license to be the God, the King of Kings in my life. And we thank You again, God, for that sense of adventure with You, that sense of romance, that sense of You being unpredictable in our lives. Even as You said to the Jewish nation, You said to them, I was like a husband to You. Thank You, God, that You love us. And it's not a cold, theological, intellectual knowing, but it's a real knowing. It's a knowing of the heart more than any natural relationship we can have, more than any romance even. It's real. And Father, I pray that this morning again, You would make it real for us. And Father, we repent. In fact, I just want to ask while every eye is closed, if you want to just recognize something in you, some way you've limited God, some way that you've sort of tried to control God, maybe you were scared, maybe you tried to protect yourself, but I want to just give a moment for honesty, just to say, God, I want to give You space again. Why don't You just raise Your hands? Father, we just say that we don't want to control You, Lord. We don't want to control You, God, because You are not controllable. You are too big, Lord. And so, Father, we confess, God, that we are limited, God, but You are awesome. God, we recognize that we're just a piece on the chessboard. But You see the whole game. Not only do You see every piece, God, but You see every move of every piece from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. You are completely God, completely in control and completely in charge. And You know the game and You've got the best for us. And we repent for controlling You. We give You space in our lives to be God. We worship You. Thank you everyone for coming. If there's any needs, any things that you would love to pray for or like to pray through, please just come forward and I'd love to pray with you. And please join us for some snacks at the back. Once again, thank you for all the family of the dedicated babies. Please join us and the band's going to lead us in another song. So feel free if you want to go and have snacks or you want to join the worship. You're welcome. God bless. Thank you.